Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
All right, look, I've got to go there. In the last segment, I've got to address this. Number one, Mr. Big Willie is a great guy. Obviously, that's not his real name, but he just goes by Mr. Big Willie. I know this guy. I've had him in my studio. This is a good, solid, decent human being. We have fun with the Big Willie stuff and him mocking me and this, that, and the other. And that's fine. I can dish it out. I can take it. I'm a big boy. Not a problem. He is a very, very good man. He is a very good-hearted man. He's a decent man. Sometimes both he and I get carried away. We start saying like crazy stuff. We're feeding off of each other. And I'm sure that's what happened in this past segment. I know. I absolutely know that is not what he meant to say regarding any ethnic group running the world. I absolutely know that. This is live radio. And sometimes we say stuff because we just get caught up in the moment and this, that, and the other. And I think that, in fact, I am sure that's what happened in this past segment. And I was trying to redirect him. You mean Israel and Mossad, which is, you know, a legitimate issue here, especially Mossad with Epstein. And I think he just, in fact, I am sure he simply misspoke. Mossad is into a lot of things. There is no question. I mean, they're a brilliant intelligence agency. And the kind of work that they do is just world-class stuff. I mean, absolutely world-class. The thing with the beepers and the phones that they wiped out so many members of Hamas and Hezbollah and all the rest is, I mean, it's just legendary stuff. Legendary. But this has nothing to do with an ethnic group or a religious group of any type, even the Greeks. Although I think the Greeks really do run the world, but we're just, you know, very discreet. So it was just a misstatement based on we were just way too over-exuberant feeding off of each other's energy. This is a good man. This is not to be taken the way that it seemed to come out. And I just wanted to make that crystal clear. Just absolutely crystal clear. This does not represent his views, does not represent the station, does not represent advertisers, does not represent, certainly doesn't represent me. Or anyone else. He just got caught up in the moment. This is a good man. And we're talking about Israel. We're talking about Mossad. We're talking about what is going on with the Epstein files and all of that. And that's got to be that is the focus. So sometimes with live radio, people misspeak. I'm guilty as charged. It's happened a lot of times. I know it's surprising to you. Dimitri misspeaking? Dimitri, this consummate broadcasting professional, actually screwing up live on the air? I know. I'm as stunned as you are. But I've been known to screw up. So I wanted to nip that in the bud, to correct that, and to assure you once again, this is a good man. This is a very, very good man who would do anything for you. Not for me, but probably for you. So that's all that was, and it was unfortunate, and I wanted to clear that up immediately. All right, next, download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local. Also, Mr. Big Willie is as well, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then Thursdays and Fridays, it's Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the River Talk Radio Network, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. It's the audio path. Hotkey. The audio path of totality. And now Dimitri, live and dangerously local, is also the force multiplier of truth. Although I don't exactly have any hotkey for that. That's not going to do. So there's that. All right. Let's see. Tomorrow we've got tomorrow joining us. Hold on. I actually have a guest tomorrow. And he is Toby Haney. Haney? I think that's how it's pronounced. And he is running for, I think, state senate? you would think I would know by now. Jeez. I'm going to have to double check this, but I believe he's running for state senate, West Virginia. Anyway, he sounded like a good guy. And he said, hey, I want to come on and talk. And I said, fine, come on in anytime you want. Anytime a politician wants to come in and talk with me, I always say yes. I never turn them down because I think they're interesting and let's hear what they have to say. But then they have to answer my questions. And that's one reason why so many of them. I've had many people asking me, why don't you have more politicians on? Why don't you have more people on who disagree with you? And, you know, we can hear what they have to say. I would love it. They don't want to come on. Some of them say they want to come on. And I believe them. And then when I reach out to them, they don't want to come on. And I think it's as simple as that. Everybody knows that I've got massive audience. The Facebook numbers alone were just astronomical. So even though I'm banned on Facebook, those numbers don't lie because those are Facebook numbers. More than 8,000 followers, more than 5,000 friends, thousands and thousands of views, my Facebook live stream of the show. This is a big deal. So they know they're going to get the exposure, which they all crave. What they don't want, it's so pathetic. What they don't want is to be asked any questions. I mean, like, real questions, not the kind of fluff that you get from the children that they've hired as, quote, reporters for the newspapers and the TV stations these days. Minimum wage kids just starting out, trying to get their careers started. And God bless every one of them, you know, for trying. God bless every one of them. I think that's great. But none of them ask any kind of tough question whatsoever. They wouldn't even know how to ask a tough question. They certainly don't want to ask a tough question because that might cause controversy, and we cannot have any of that here in the Valley with the local media, because the local media is all about fluff and PR and protecting the insiders. That's what this is all about. That's why you get no news from the local media other than fundraisers and fun runs and fish fries. And they certainly aren't journalists. They pretend to be reporters through no fault of their own. They're kids. They're just starting out. The newspapers say, okay, now you're a reporter. Go cover some charity event. Or your TV reporter, here's a microphone, go cover some event where they have like an oversized check, that somebody's getting an oversized check, because that's, you know, news. That ain't journalism. That ain't journalism at all. I'm pretty much all you've got. So download the River Network app. Click Big Willie 105.5. Live and Dangerously, local Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Encores Thursdays and Fridays. River Talk Radio Network. I'm all you've got. I'm all you've got. So these politicians just do not want to answer my questions because they are used to having these children pretending to be reporters, asking them just the simplest, softest questions that they know how to ask. And they don't know any better. They're children. The reason that so many of the important people here in the Valley who disagree with me, and even the ones who agree with me, do not want to come on. It's not because I won't give them enough time. Quite the opposite. I give them all the time they want. I mean that literally. When somebody comes in and sits down and say, okay, start talking. Tell me what you would like the listeners to know. Tell me why you're running. Tell me all about you and, you know, let me listen to whatever it is you have to say about any issue or whatever. I don't interrupt them. I just sit back and listen and take notes and go, I wonder what he meant by this, wonder what he meant by that. And I ask them when they're through, did you have enough time to say what you wanted to say to my listeners? Do you need more time to say anything else or to elaborate on what you've already said? Anything at all? And they typically say, no, that's fine. Okay. Now it's my turn. And I start asking them questions. And I do not ask gotcha questions. No clever wordplay, no diabolical thing about this, that, or the other. Very straightforward questions. And you would be amazed how little they know about the most basic stuff. Let's say, here's an example. Some guy running for a statewide office, for governor, Ohio. And I'll ask, well, what's the total budget for Ohio? You know, the big number, the biggest number. The total budget that includes all the money coming in from all sources. What is the number? They have no idea. Local people here are running for school board. Well, what's the annual budget for the school district? What are the proficiency scores for reading, math, and science? Basic stuff. And they have no earthly idea. I'm amazed at how unprepared so many of them are. Absolutely unprepared. Just beyond amazing. I had one candidate on the phone running for governor, Republican nomination for governor. And I was just stunned. It was Casey. Casey Pooch, I believe his last name, who is not doing very well right now, running in the Republican primary against Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy has lots of problems. I'm no big fan of his. But Vivek Ramaswamy on his worst, most corrupt day is still better than Dr. Amy Acton, the one who put us through hell with the coronavirus and COVID-19 and all the lockdowns and everything else. Vivek Ramaswamy on his worst day on earth is still better than Amy Acton, Dr. Amy Acton, who doesn't even know that the Upper Ohio Valley is not the Mahoning Valley. But she does know how to shut down nursing homes and assisted care facilities during the pandemic so that those poor people died alone instead of having their loved ones next to them. I'll never forgive her for that, and Fauci as well. I will never forgive them for that. Anyway, so talking with Casey on the phone, and I ask him, again, this is not a these are not trick questions. When you get sworn in as governor, let's say you win the Republican primary, you win the general election, you get sworn in as governor. What's the first thing you do? He said he'd take a nap. I actually couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I think what he was trying to say is because he would have been so tired from all of this stuff that he would have to relax and take a nap and just, you know, recharge his batteries or whatever. I think that's what he was trying to say, to be fair. But if you're running for governor, you don't say that. Even if you are going to take a nap right after you get sworn in, you don't say that. I mean, you really don't say that. Or the other thing is, again, running for governor, I asked him about the and he was going on and on about the school districts and education and all that. And again, fine. That's great. Major issue. What did you think about the DeRolf ruling? The most important Supreme Court ruling regarding public schools in Ohio. The Ohio Supreme Court essentially said that the funding was unconstitutional, and this went on for like 25 years. It was like a 25-year-old ruling. Most important ruling by far. Anybody who knows anything about public education, government-owned and operated schools in Ohio, would know about this and have some thoughts on DeRolf. Again, not a trick question when the issue is education in Ohio. He had no idea what DeRolf was. So the problem that I have is that I would love to have all these people on, especially the ones who disagree with me, especially those folks. But they don't want to come on. I honest to God believe that they are terrified. And the thing is, I give them all the time they want, and at the end of each interview, they get the last word. I say to them, look, you got about a minute, minute and a half. I always give my guests the last word. You effectively have my microphone. You say whatever you want. I'm not going to interrupt. It's entirely up to you. You get the last word. And I do that all the time. I give them as much time as they want at the beginning. When they're through talking, when they can't think of anything else they want to say, I'll ask them questions. And that's when typically the whole show goes sideways. Because so many of them are so unprepared. And it's not like I'm arguing with them or yelling at them or anything. Far from it. I'll ask a simple question and then just listen. And actually, sometimes you can actually hear the flop sweat forming on their lips as they try to answer a basic, straightforward question. And then at the end, they get the last word. And yet, even with all of that, they still will not come on. They just won't do it. It's the damnedest thing. So, yeah, I appreciate so many people saying to me, you get these people on and, got to talk. I'd love to. I would love to. Now, maybe if I had a producer who could be like the run interference, a liaison or whatever, to reassure them that, Dimitri's not so bad or whatever. Maybe we'd have better luck. But then again, maybe we wouldn't. That I don't know. But I do know from personal experience that I've asked so many of these folks, especially liberals, local liberals, and hardly any of them ever come on to talk about anything. They have all the time in the world. They have a massive audience that I can give them, and I do give them. They still won't do it. For some reason, so many of them are just afraid to answer Dimitri's questions.